Good morning. These are some common spices that most of you probably have in your kitchens. There's some pepper, cinnamon, garlic powder, chili powder, and nutmeg. All together, you could get all of these spices $10 to $13 probably. But if we could go back in time and take some of these spices with us, we would be incredibly wealthy. We would be incredibly rich because there was such a demand on these spices. While these spices are readily available today, I mean, we keep them, we throw them out. Once they expire, the taste isn't quite as strong anymore. We throw out the nutmeg and we just go buy a new one. They're so readily available today. But there was a time when people actually risked their lives in order to gain access to these spices, to control how these spices were brought in into their countries. Because a lot of these spices, including the ones up here, could only be readily found in India between the 7th and 16th century. So for hundreds of years, that's the only place you could get these spices. So in order to get them to like Spain and France and England, it was hard work. It was hard work, and it cost a lot. Europeans would take their ships on long expeditions in the quest to find these spices that gave life to their food. These Indian spices were in such heavy demand and very difficult to obtain that some were even more valuable than gold. During the Middle Ages, it is said that 1 pound of ginger was worth a sheep, 1 pound of mace was worth 3 sheep or half a cow, and 1 sack of pepper, I'm not sure how much a sack of pepper is, but a sack of pepper was said to be worth a man's life. And here we have a jar of pepper just sitting up here, waiting to be ground up and added to our food. According to an estimate, Western Europe imported around 1,000 tons of pepper and 1,000 tons of other common spices during the late Middle Ages. These spices were equivalent to the annual supply of grain for 1.5 million people. It is also believed that because of the want of these spices, that was the actual factor behind the Crusades, not actually spreading Christianity. They wanted to get the trade routes opened up again over to India and China, not just spreading Christianity. Famous explorers like Ferdinand Magellan and Christopher Columbus were, of course, actually looking for the Spice Islands, for the West Indies. That's why when he found America, he called them Indians, the people who were here, because that's where he thought he was. So he was looking for the Spice Lands. Wars over these Indonesian Spice Lands broke out between European countries for about 200 years. Between the 15th and 17th century, for 200 years, people fought over access to these spices. And in the 16th century, Portugal traders, they reached the east by sailing around Africa. That'd be a long trip. Sailing around Africa, and they actually gained a monopoly for a time over the spice trade. And the Portuguese government, over half the revenues of the Portuguese government came from West African Indian spices. The spices were more valuable than gold. So why were these spices so highly prized in Europe? Why were they in such demand in Europe? A lot of times, these spices were used to cover the taste of spoiled meat. So if the meat in the butcher shop had kind of passed its prime and wasn't so good anymore, they would kind of mask that not so good flavor by adding some spices to it. It was also used in medical ingredients, but of course, most of all, the spices were used in cooking. They have actually found more than 100 cookbooks from the Middle Ages. There was one cookbook has about 200 recipes. 154 call for sugar, a common one, but 125 call for cinnamon, 76 ginger, and 54 saffron. those last three were some of the harder ones to get at the time, and there were a lot of recipes that had it. They liked these spices in their foods. There was a wedding for a Duke of Bavaria in the year 1475. The spices ordered for that wedding, 386 pounds of pepper, 286 pounds of ginger, 257 pounds of saffron, and a whole bunch of cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg as well. So these recipes from that era not only called for large quantity, but also a wide variety. They didn't want just one spice. They wanted several different spices because each spice adds its own unique flavor to the food. For example, if you were to roast a chicken, it would probably be pretty good. It would taste good. You could eat it, but it would only taste like chicken. It would taste a little bland because it would only taste like chicken. But if you add some salt and pepper, that would bring out the natural chicken flavor. And by adding a few more herbs, you can enhance the flavor of that chicken. At home, we watch a lot of cooking shows and cooking competitions. And a lot of times the people are eliminated from those competitions because they don't season their food as well as the other person. They don't have as much spice in their food, or they have some but not enough. So spices are important when cooking, especially nowadays. Especially the basics like salt and pepper, let alone some of these fancier spices like cinnamon and nutmeg. But can you imagine an apple pie without cinnamon and nutmeg? It just wouldn't taste right, would it? You'd take a bite of the apple pie and expecting to taste a certain way, and something's missing. Something's missing from this. So you'd be wondering, what's missing? And if you've eaten enough apple pie, you'd probably realize it pretty soon that it's cinnamon and nutmeg are missing from the pie. It would still be edible, of course. You could eat it. It just wouldn't be as enjoyable. It wouldn't be as complete. Walter's not here today, but sometime you can ask him how important salt is on your food. If you ever drive him to church or back and they ran out of salt at the nursing home, you'll hear about it. When used correctly, salt is a flavor enhancer. It can bring out the true flavor of the food. When not enough is used, or worse off, when none is used, you can definitely tell that there's something lacking. There's something missing from the food. And the same can be said for our Christian lives as well. Sometimes when we're living our lives, it can feel like something's missing. Something could be lacking from our lives. We may not feel the same. We may not act the same. May not be the same. We can just feel that something is lacking. But we're told that when we come to Christ, we're made complete. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we're told we are complete. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead boldly. For you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." We're complete in God, but yet sometimes we can still be lacking something. The apple pie is complete. It's a complete apple pie, but if it doesn't have the cinnamon and nutmeg, it can be lacking. Just because we're complete in God, because God gives us all we need to be saved. He's given us Christ. So we are complete, but there are things in our lives that we can still improve upon. So we're lacking. We should never be satisfied with how we are. We should never feel like we have nothing else to work on. The best athletes in their respective sports, they're the best athletes because they're never content. They are never satisfied saying that they're complete, that there's nothing else that they can work on. Maybe they threw too many interceptions during the year. Maybe they struck out too many times, or maybe they missed too many shots. So during the off season, they work on improving those things that they found themselves lacking in. So during the next season, they can be better. But they're never satisfied with their current state. They always try to find the thing that's lacking. I'd like to look in the book of Thessalonians. Because Paul had something interesting to say to them, and this would be 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. I'll stop there for a moment. So Timothy had been to see the Thessalonians and had gotten in contact with Paul and was telling him good things about these people of Thessalonians. Brought us good news of your faith and love. We were comforted concerning you by your faith. Good things, compliments. But then let's read the next couple, verses 9 and 10. For what thanks we can render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before the Lord, before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. But you just said you were comforted hearing about our faith. You heard the good news about our faith and love from Timothy. What is it we're lacking? What is it they could be lacking? Paul wanted to visit the Thessalonians to see them there, but also to perfect, which can also mean to supply or to complete what was lacking in their faith. So what was lacking in their faith? Next few verses we can see what that would be. Verses 11 and 12. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. This was not a loveless church. Again, a few verses before, they had heard good news about their faith and love. So they weren't loveless, but they still had room to grow in love. They had some, but they didn't have enough. They could have more. It's like adding a little bit of salt or a little bit of one of these spices. There can always, if it's not quite right, it could be a little bit more to make it even better. Paul was looking at the Thessalonian Christians to show, he wanted them to show more love to one another and to all. So there was something lacking. They were complete. They were good. But they were lacking a little something. I'd like now to turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. In the first part of this chapter, you can see that Jesus is he's being followed by a large crowd, and then Jesus begins to teach them concerning life and the kingdom of God. So I'd like to start reading verse 17. Mark 10, 17. Now as he was going out on the road, Jesus, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This man was obviously listening to Jesus' teachings, and decided to ask Jesus about his own personal situation, because he could possibly tell something was lacking, something was missing from his life, and he wanted to know what that was to inherit eternal life. So Jesus told him of the commandments, not all the commandments, but some of the commandments at this time. So he lists them off. In other words, saying, you know what you should be doing. And the man replies, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. These aren't what I'm lacking. I'm not lacking in any of these. What is it? So Jesus tells him what he is lacking. He says, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. The commands that Jesus spoke to him, the ones that the man said that he was keeping since his youth, were all regarding this man's relationship with other people. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. That's relationship between him and other people. He was keeping all those, but he also had great possessions, and he was keeping those for himself. Jesus told him that what he was lacking was that he needed to give to others. He was keeping all the relationship parts, but he needed to give a little more. He wasn't giving enough. He was thinking of himself. Jesus told him that what he was lacking was that he was living for himself and certainly not living to help others or not serving others. And I think this may come down to love as well, kind of like what he told the Thessalonians, that it comes down to love. During Jesus' time here, he spoke a lot about serving others, being a servant of others, and telling his disciples to serve others. And at the root of serving, I think it comes down to love. If we love others, we'll serve them. If we don't love others, we're going to serve ourselves. We're not going to serve others. This man wasn't serving others as well as he should. He might not have had the love. He loved his possessions, seemed to love his possessions more than he loved other people. Now, of course, we don't know what he did after this. He very well could have went home sad, like it says, and in a day or so realized what he needed to do and come around and do it. I certainly hope he did, but we don't. We have no idea. His story ends here. But if Jesus tells you that you're lacking something, you better listen and try to obey if it comes from him. But unfortunately, we can't physically go up to Jesus today. Not physically. Go up to Jesus today and have him tell us what we're lacking. But of course, we can still find out what we're lacking. The book where most of us are probably holding tells us a lot of the things we're supposed to have, and if we're lacking something, we can find it. But that's what we need to do. Just like an athlete, they need to look at themselves to figure out what part of their game they need to improve. If we're lacking something, we need to find out what it is. It may be something obvious, like cinnamon missing from an apple pie. It could be very blatant and noticeable that that's what's missing. If we taste our food, we know it. If cinnamon is missing from the apple pie, we know it. If we look at our lives, something might be obvious. As obvious as that something is not right. It might be something easy to find out, but it could be something a little more hidden. But we need to examine our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, it tells us, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? A few verses before this, the Corinthians were trying to seek proof that Paul was actually speaking the true words of Christ. But instead, Paul flips it around on them and tells them to examine themselves to see that they are in the faith. He wanted them to ask themselves whether they were walking according to the gospel that they professed. He wanted them to apply the same standard to themselves that they were expecting from him. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? Do you not know yourself? We need to know ourselves in order to know what's missing. We know cinnamon's missing from an apple pie because we've eaten apple pie a lot, most of us. So if we're trying to find out what's missing from our lives, we need to taste ourselves often. We need to examine ourselves often so that we know what it should be, so we know what's missing. And we can study the word to know what we should be. He also writes about this in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Let each one examine his own work. The Greek word here for examine means to test. That was used in the previous scripture, to test. It also means to prove with the expectation of approving. It can also mean to discern or distinguish, suggesting proving whether a thing is worthy or not. And again, we're not comparing ourselves to each other. Don't do that. We're to compare ourselves to what we're told in the Bible. The recipe in the Bible is what we're supposed to have. And we need to find out the ingredients and figure out what we're missing. But why is it important to find out what's lacking? If you're making cookies, and if you don't add baking powder or baking soda, I know those aren't the spices we're talking about, but if you leave out the baking powder and baking soda, you're going to have some flat, kind of hard cookies because it's lacking that special ingredient that you need to get them to rise and to be a little chewy. Spices don't have that drastic of effect. It's not going to change the appearance usually or the texture. It's just going to add the taste. But still, if you want the food you cook to taste the way we're used to now, because we've been spoiled by the abundance of these spices, it's important to have these spices in it. So it's important to know what's lacking. That's why, again, if you watch these cooking shows or possibly do it at home, if you're cooking something, you give it a little taste, trying to determine, okay, what else does it need? What more could be added to it? So it's important to find out what's lacking when you cook with spices. So it's important to find out what we're lacking from our spiritual lives. But why? Well, I want to go back to Thessalonians. Remember Paul was telling them that they lacked something, and it was they needed to improve on their love. I'm sure I had to put your finger in there, or at least kept mine in there as well. That was 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we're in the last verse then, 13. So again, I'll just read a little bit more so we know, get it back in context. So starting verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. By supplying what the Thessalonians were lacking, Paul says it would cause God to make them blameless in holiness. Blameless in holiness before him. We should all want to be blameless and holy before God. And by completing ourselves, by finding what's lacking in ourselves, then we'll have a better shot. We have more likely to be blameless in holiness. Again, not that that's going to get us the sacrifice. I mean, we already have that, but it's going to taste better. We're going to taste better to God if we're a little more complete. Not that he won't love us or want us. We'll just taste a little better. Hundreds of years ago, these spices were fought over. People died to get these spices into their country because they so desired their food to taste better. It was a privilege to have these spices in their food. They weren't used to having these spices. It was a privilege. It was good fortune, or if they had enough money, then they could afford these spices, but they certainly weren't used to them. Today, these spices are common, and we expect them to be in the food that we eat. And again, if something's missing, if one of these spices is missing, then we're not as pleased with what we're eating. We take for granted the spices that we have in our food today and pick apart the food if it's missing something that could have made it better. And God has certainly blessed our lives as well. And a lot of times we take for granted all that we have because he's given us so much, and we're not as thankful for what we do. We're not as thankful for these spices today as they were hundreds of years ago because they're so easily available. The blessings in our lives, we need to be thankful for every day. I don't know, I need to be more thankful sometimes. We need to look for what's missing then in our lives. We have so much, sometimes it's harder to find what's missing because we have so much, but we need to look at our lives and find what's missing so we can be more pleasing to Him. In closing, I want to look at John chapter 3. We read earlier in the book of Mark about a man who went to Jesus and was told he was lacking something. And now we can read of another man, a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was probably a smart man. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the Jews. And he seems to think that something is lacking from his life as well. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So stop there for a moment. So Nicodemus understood that Jesus had come from God and that God was with him. He didn't quite understand that Jesus was God, but even a lot of Jesus' disciples didn't realize that at this point. But still, he understands that God is with Jesus. So it continues in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus knew that something was missing in his life. And Jesus told him what it was, that he needed to be baptized. He needed to be baptized. He needed to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. Not born physically, born spiritually. That's what was missing from Nicodemus' life. We need to look at our lives and examine our lives and determine what we are missing. We need to examine ourselves and find what it is. Because there could be, most likely is, some spice missing from your dish today. There's something that's missing. If your life is not tasting quite right to you, you need to find out what it is. It could be a subtle spice, just a pinch of nutmeg or of cumin or of dill, just something extra, something that would just add to the flavor of our lives that we're missing. But it could be something big and bold like pepper or salt, something very noticeable that could be missing from our lives, something like being born again. If you are missing that this morning, if you are missing the second birth of being born of spirit and water, if you want to take the advantage then of the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us by cleansing yourselves in the water of baptism, you are invited to come forward as we stand and sing.